Come on, Meadow Ridge, can you give a hand for Jesus now? So good to be here with you all this morning. And thank you, David, for that introduction. And your pastor is gone, but can you give him a hand, Pastor Randall? The writer of Hebrews says that he's the keeper of your soul. And so you want to honor him. And I know God is doing some amazing things in this body of believers. Can you give it up for your worship band and worship team? It may seem normal that you get that every Sunday, but I'm typically in a church every Sunday, and I'm going to let you know that doesn't happen everywhere. You are blessed and highly favored. Amen. It's good to be here with my wife, Shamika. We have 5 children. They didn't make it with us today. They're a little bit of everywhere, but it's good to see. I'll be here with my wife, Shamika, of 22 years. Make 22 years. Yeah, she took all my youth. She stole all my youth. If you have your Bibles, I know we're in a series of evangelism. If you turn to Matthew chapter 28, you know this scripture even if you flunk Sunday school. This is a well-familiar passage, Matthew chapter 28. We'll look at verses 16 through 20. And I believe the Lord has given us a text message for us today. When you find it, just let me know by saying word up. All right, I caught y'all off guard. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. If you're still looking, the table of contents is your friend. If you're already there and you're using a device, we're not impressed. You just click the button. That's all you did. Matthew chapter 28, starting verse 16 through 20. When you're there, let me know by saying word up. Here we go. It reads like this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When he saw them, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, everybody say all authority, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Everybody say all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all things. Everybody say all things. That I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. Everybody say always. Even to the end of the age. As we continue in this series, my friend David did a great job. I even watched him last week. As we continue in this series, I want to talk briefly from this thought. Don't miss this assignment. Don't miss this assignment. I need you to get that in your spirit, so go ahead and holler back at me. Say, don't miss this assignment. Tell your neighbor, if you're not too mean, go ahead and tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, whatever you do, don't miss this assignment. Father, have your way. Speak today. Lord, teach us. Inform us with your word. Transform us by your spirit. Lord, we want to know without a shadow of a doubt when we would leave this place that we have ran smack dab into God. Your presence is here. So speak to us. We're listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't miss this assignment. I have 5 kids, like I said before, and our youngest, his name is Micah. Love Micah. With both of my sons, I was able to coach them in basketball at the YMCA because every great player starts at the YMCA. I love coaching Malachi, my oldest son, but I love coaching Micah. And I remember when he first started, he's 11 years old now, but when he first started in the 4- and 5-year-old age group, I was excited about coaching. I was excited about teaching them how to shoot, how to pass, how to dribble. I wanted to teach some zone defenses. You know, I wanted to teach, you know, all of these things. I wrote up these plays, y'all. I was excited about teaching Micah and his friends the game of basketball, but I quickly discovered that teaching 4- and 5-year-olds basketball, the hardest thing is not teaching them to dribble, it's not teaching them to shoot, it's not teaching them to pass, it's not teaching them teamwork, it's not teaching them zone defense, it's not teaching them hands up on defense. Does anybody know the hardest thing to teach 4- and 5-year-olds in the game of basketball? Huh? Y'all talk back. Y'all scared? See, I can tell y'all don't coach 4 and 5 year olds in basketball. The toughest thing to teach 4 and 5 year olds is just to shoot in the right goal. And then at halftime, they switch goals. What I've discovered about the church is, even though we do all of these things in ministry and all of these things in church, many of us have missed the goal. We've missed the assignment that God has given us. Matter of fact, I know what I'm saying is true because according to Barna Research, 76% of churchgoers don't know what the Great Commission is. I'll say it again. 76% of church people, parking lot attendants and greeters and musicians and preachers and elders, don't know what the Great Commission is. No wonder 90% of our churches in the nation are in decline or plateaued, because we've missed the goal. We've missed the point of why we come together and we worship. There's another thing that I learned in coaching my son Micah in basketball. I was excited about coaching, and I discovered in coaching, we went to the coaches meeting, and I was excited about coaching, and they told us, David, they told us that in the ages of 4 and 5, you don't take score. Okay? So I said, you mean to tell me we're going to buy these kids shoes? We're going to buy them Jordans? We're going to buy them wristbands, headbands? The parents are going to put the shirts with their kid name on the back? You're going to have a team mom that's going to have snacks after every game? I'm still trying to understand why we got to have snacks after every game. If somebody's kid gets knocked around on the court, parents are going to want to fight. They're going to yell at the referee. They're going to shout. They're going to do all of that. And nobody wins? And what I've discovered in the church is we know how to shout, we know how to talk, we know what clothes to put on, we know where to come and worship, and we do all of that. And nobody wins. The Bible is still true. He who wins souls is wise. 76% of churchgoers don't know what the Great Commission is. I'm excited about this Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus makes an announcement. He tells the disciples to meet him on a mountain in Galilee. That's in Matthew chapter 26. He makes this announcement. Then in Matthew chapter 27, he makes the atonement. He dies on the cross, right? He dies. That's where we celebrate Easter. He gets up, right? But then in Matthew chapter 28, he gives us this assignment. So I'll back up. In Matthew chapter 27, he makes the announcement. In Matthew chapter 26, he makes the announcement. In Matthew chapter 27, he makes the atonement. But then in Matthew chapter 28, he gives us this assignment. And here's the reality. Jesus gets up from the grave. He gets up, but he doesn't go up. So when Jesus gets up from the grave, he doesn't go up. Why doesn't he go up? He doesn't go up so he can pop up. He starts popping up in different places. He's on the road to Emmaus. He's in the upper room. He's having fish fries by the sea. So he gets up. He doesn't go up so he can pop up. Then in Acts chapter 1, there's a breakup. He says, I got to leave y'all. He's talking to his disciples. I got to leave y'all. I got to go back with my father. But after there's a breakup, there's going to be a show up. There's going to be a show up of the Holy Spirit. Then after the show up, I need the gospel to blow up. I'll rewind and say it louder for the people in the back. He gets up. He doesn't go up so he can pop up. So there's a breakup so the Spirit can show up so the gospel can blow up to the ends of the earth. And that's our assignment. Matthew chapter 28, he gives us this assignment. He tells us exactly what we need to do. But there's one more thing we need to understand before we really get into this Matthew chapter 28. We need to understand that God has called each and every one of us to win souls for him. That's your assignment. We have 5 kids. I told you that about 5 times. I was just waiting for somebody to clap. Nobody has clapped yet for these 5 kids. That's why I keep saying. With these 5 kids, I love our family. If you look from the left to the right, that's majesty. that's holding my hand. She's about to be a 10th grader. She's a worship person. She plays the piano and all that good stuff. Then you see my beautiful wife, and the next time my beautiful wife, that's Micah. Those are the ones that couldn't find the goal. And then Melody. Melody is our gymnast. She's our cheerleader. She's a cheerleader and all that good stuff. And then Malachi, he's our oldest son. He's a student at DBU. And then Micaiah, to the far right, that's our oldest. She's the songbird, pianist, worship leader. She does all of that good stuff. But y'all, if you look from the left to the right, you see my wife, and then you see Micah, and then you see Melody. So with all of our children, we prayed that they would be healthy. We prayed that they would have their eyeballs and their ears, that they would have all of their toes, that all of their organs, everything would be good. Just like you prayed for your kids, we pray for our kids. We even prayed that they would be cute. Y'all know it's some ugly babies. Y'all. I know y'all want to say that in church. I know. And we prayed that all of them would be good. They would all be healthy. And my daughter, Melody, we prayed the same thing for her. And everything was good with Melody. The only problem with Melody is that she was born on January the 20th. It's not a problem for you, but that was a problem for me. It's a problem for me because my birthday is January the 20th. And so we're family by now. I don't need y'all looking at me strange or judging me. When we were at the hospital, everybody was bringing gifts because Melody was born. But everybody that was bringing gifts, y'all, none of the gifts were for your boy. None of the gifts for your boy. And we're family. Please don't judge me. I was in my feelings. I was all in my feelings. And I remember my dad told me that night. He said, Oza, I hope you really understand now that it is no longer about you. And if we want to get this gospel thing right, before we even jump into this Matthew, we got to understand that it's not about us. It's all about him. This is our assignment. This is what we need to understand in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, we need to see, number one, that all authority is the power of the Great Commission. Everybody say power. All authority is the power. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Can I say, if some doubted Jesus, there's going to be some doubters in your life too? Can I just parenthetically pause right there and let you know that? There's going to be some people in your life that doubt what God is doing in your life. He has resurrected from the grave, and there's still people who doubt what Jesus has done. So they're doubting him. Then verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and in earth. Now, here's what we need to understand about this word authority, this word power. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus says, I pour my power, my spirit out on you, then you'll be my witnesses with my power in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. That's this Greek word dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite. That's in Acts chapter 1. But in Matthew chapter 28, this is a different power in all authority. This is a different Greek word. This is the Greek word exousia. Everybody say exousia. This is a power, watch this, that can transfer. This is a transferable power. That's what it is. It's a power where Jesus is saying, I have all power. Jesus is saying he has power. And then when you accept me as your personal savior, you have the power that I have. It's a transferable power. Okay, y'all still looking at me strange. So we just moved, right? We just moved into a new house. And when you move into a new house, you have to get the power transferred. You have to get the power transferred, and we're moving in Texas in 110 degree weather. And so I asked my wife 100,000 times and made sure before we go to this other house, before we start moving anything, we got to make sure, I wish y'all helped me preach, we got to make sure that the power has been transferred to the other house, because I'm not going out there if there's no power. So the good news is that Jesus transfers his power to us when we receive him as his person. This is important for us to know if we're going to carry out the assignment that God has given us. His power transfers, but watch this. His power transcends. It's this exousia, it's a transcendent power. What this means is it breaks jurisdiction. Okay. It breaks jurisdiction. Jesus, his power is transcendent through disaster. Remember when Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples, he says, let's go to the other side. They get in the boat. The windstorm comes. The winds and the waves beat against the boat, and the boat is rocking, and the disciples are tripping. They think they're about to lose their life, and Jesus is chilling on a pillow, asleep. And they think they're about to lose their life, and they got to send somebody to go and wake Jesus up. I think they went and got Peter because Peter was a thug. So I think Peter was the one that went and woke Jesus up. And then they wake Jesus up. As he gets up, he speaks to the winds and the waves. He says, peace, be still, because his power transcends disaster. That's important for us to know. Not only does his power transcend disaster, his power is transcendent over demons. Remember Legion? He has all of these demons, and then Jesus steps on the scene, and then the demons go into pigs, and the pigs jump off a cliff because his power is transcendent over demonic activity. Y'all, that's important for us to know, that any demon we talk, I know demon is a bad word in church now, we don't want to talk like that, but demons in our lives, his power is transcendent to get rid of them. His power is transcendent over disaster. His power is transcendent over demons. His power is transcendent over disease. The woman with the issue of blood, she crawls to Jesus. She touches the hem of his garment. The Bible said her 12 years of bleeding stops immediately because his power is transcendent through disease. Any sickness that we have, his power can fix it. His power is transcendent over disease. His power is transcendent over demons. His power is transcendent over disaster. His power is transcendent even through death. When Lazarus dies, Jesus comes on the scene. And as Jesus comes on the scene, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the old preacher would say he had to call Lazarus by name, because if he would have just said, come forth, the entire cemetery would have got up, because his power. That's important for us to know as we carry out the assignment that God has given us, that his power transfers and his power transcends. All authority is the power of the Great Commission. Let's keep it moving. All nations is the people. Everybody say the people. He says, I need you to go to all nations. In the Greek, I know y'all know this at Middle Ridge. I know y'all know this. All nations is this Greek word ethnos. It's where we get our word ethnicity. Y'all, can I just be honest with you, Middle Ridge? I've never seen anything like this, and I preach everywhere. This is amazing what's happening here. I see all ethnos, all ethnic groups. In other words, Jesus says, your job is to go get everybody. Everybody say everybody. Your job is to get everybody, big, small, white, black, tall, short, cute, challenged. Your job is to get them all, PhD, GED. Your job is to get them all people groups. And I like Jesus, David. I like Jesus because Jesus has, y'all, his marketing team sucked. I just got to say this. His marketing team was horrible. Jesus uses people that are leased and left out and nobody likes. He uses James and John, they mama's boys. They got their mama coming to Jesus talking about, can you give my boys a seat on the right? And they mama's boy. That's just prideful and arrogant, right? James and John. He goes to get Matthew. Jesus recruits the IRS to be on his team because he cares about people. Jesus goes and gets Peter, who has a cussing problem and a cutting problem. Thugging. Come on, Peter. I like that about Jesus, because Jesus shows us that we are to get everybody, no matter where we're at, no matter where they're going, no matter where they are in life. God said, y'all got me talking loud. Y'all got me hollering. Get everybody, because everybody counts. Everyone matters. Lord, deliver me from the people or the church that goes to the qualified and the people that look good and the people that act right. Lord, deliver me from the people who say, whosoever will come to the church until whosoever gets there. Deliver me from the church that the woman with the X on her hand from the club last night gets her nose. Lord, deliver me from the church where the guy comes in smelling like Dank and Bin Laden and reefer, whatever y'all call weed these days. Deliver me from that church who doesn't really care about the people. All nations are the people, and Jesus says our job is to get everybody. When I turned 16, my dad always told me if I was responsible, he was gonna get me a new car. And so he told me I was responsible, and we went to McKinney. I never forget, we went to McKinney, Texas. And after we got to McKinney, I was excited because I knew I was about to get me an Acura Legend or, you know. This is in about 1997, right? This is 97. I knew I was gonna get me a Honda Accord, something. You know what I'm saying? A Civic, at least a Civic or something. I was gonna put my radio, my system in there. David, it's about to be on and popping. It's about to be on. And so we drive to McKinney, Texas. I'm excited, y'all. I see all the students. I love that the students are sitting right. Y'all know the wave starts in the student section, right? The wave don't start with the old people. Right? Y'all are doing so good. So I'm gonna talk to y'all right now. And so we go to McKinney, and I think I'm gonna get a Honda of some sort or something. And we pull up, and for some reason my dad pulls around to the back of the car lot. And so we get to the back of the car lot, y'all. I lie not, I can't make this up. We pull up on a white 77 Buick LeSabre. Can't make this up. 77 Buick LeSabre. With the original 8-track. Y'all Google 8-track. Not right now. Y'all Google 8-track when y'all get to the crib. With the original 8-track. And so we pull up on it. Now, my dad is 27 years Air Force military police officer. I lived with a drill sergeant. I dare not even have a facial expression as if I did not like this vehicle. But in my head, I was I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to be honest. I was cussing. I was doing all kind of stuff in my head, in my head, in my head. So we leave McKinney and we go back to Irvin, and I'm mad the whole way. I'm trying to think of a way to explain to the homies that I came back with a 77 Buick. And we get back to Irvin, and on the window, y'all, there's a tag that says as is. And so I'm 16 years old. I'm like, see, they can't even make a complete sentence. What the heck is as is? And so I nicely asked my dad, What is as is mean? He said, well, what it means is we took this car off the lot, and if anything happens to the car, it's up to us to get it fixed. It's up to us. In my head, I was like, that's just stupid. See, that I knew we shouldn't have. Why are we even getting this car? I said, so Dad, so what if something happens to the car though? He said, OJ, that's what they call me. He said, you see me put engines together and take them apart. You see me work on transmissions, and you see me put cars back together again. That's my specialty. And what I like about Jesus when it relates to people is that he takes us as is. We don't have to have every I dotted and every T crossed. We don't have to have our life together. He puts our life together. We don't have things all lined up and in the right place. As a matter of fact, if you don't know Jesus, stop saying that you're going to wait till you get your life together and then give it to Jesus. No, you give your life to Jesus, then he gets it together, because he takes you as is, just as you are. That's how Jesus takes you. All nations, that's the people. All authority, that's the power. All nations, that's the people. I got to hurry up, y'all. All things is the process. Everybody say all things. I need you to teach them to observe all things. Here it is. It's this process of discipleship, because evangelism and discipleship can't be separated. Discipleship has to have evangelism. Evangelism has to have discipleship. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, first of all, I need you to identify the people. In other words, when you wake up every morning, your prayer should be, Lord, let me cross paths with someone who doesn't know you. That should be the prayer. Not to jump on Twitter, not to jump on TikTok real quick, not to jump on Facebook. That shouldn't be your first thing when you wake up in the morning. If you wake up in the morning, first thing is not just to get to your Starbucks or get to your coffee. The first thing when you pop up, it should be, Lord, thank you for another day. And Lord, if there's somebody who doesn't know you, bring me across their path. In other words, let me ask this question. If everyone you prayed for came to Christ today, how many people would be at the altar? I'll say it again for the people in the back. If everyone you prayed to receive Christ today, how many people would be at the altar? Is prayer your steering wheel, or is prayer your spare tire? Do you pray for people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things. That means we got to identify the people who don't know Jesus. That means we got to put on our sunglasses, our S-O-N glasses, and we have to see people as Jesus sees people. Kind of reminds me of that scripture in Luke chapter 10 where there's a man that comes down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and the Bible says he gets beaten and left half dead. Then the priest comes down from the same place. He comes from the place of worship, and he passes by on the other side when he sees the man left half dead. Then there's a Levite that comes down. He does the same thing. He passes by on the other side. Lord, help us to identify people who don't know you. And after we identify them, we should intercede for them and then invest in them. I hope y'all are taking good notes. That's our job. Our job is to do life with people who come to Jesus Christ. Our job is teaching them to observe all things, which is discipleship. Our job is to be like the four men in Mark chapter 2, where the paralytic man was laying outside the house and Jesus was inside the house preaching, but the paralytic man couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. And so they're so determined, they're so eager, they're so thirsty and hungry to get this paralytic to Jesus that they go around up the stairs and they break through the roof to get the man to Jesus. That should be our process, that whoever doesn't know Jesus, it's our job to get them to Jesus. All authority is the power. All nations, those are the people. All things, that's the process. But then Jesus says, lo, I'll be with you always. Always is his presence. As God has called you to go get others, it's important for us to understand that he's with us. He's on our side, and he's by our side. Don't miss that, y'all. He's on our side, and he's by our side. What I've discovered in life is that there's some people that can be by your side and still not be on your side. Jesus is both by my side, by your side, and on your side. He's a very present help. I like what Matthew does. He calls Jesus Emmanuel in Matthew chapter 1. They're really bookends in Matthew. He says, Emmanuel, God is with you in Matthew chapter 1. Then in Matthew chapter 8, as he closes out, he says, let me just remind you again, God is with you even until the ends of the world. There's some 30 million people in Texas, and about 15 million people don't know who Jesus is. We have an assignment from God. And the reality is the only thing better than going to heaven is taking a few folk with you. There's some people in your life that God has called you and you only to reach. There are people that I can't reach, people that your husband or your wife can't reach. There's certain people, young people, there's people at FCA, whether it's All-Pro Dads, whether it's in the locker room or the basketball court or the tennis court or the golf, whatever it is, there's people in your life that God has called you to reach. Don't miss this assignment. I'll close with this. There's a recreation center. There's a recreation center in New Orleans. This recreation center in New Orleans, they went the entire summer with no drowning. The entire summer. They went 12 weeks, no drowning. True story. As they gone the 12 weeks with no drowning, they wanted to celebrate the fact that they went the whole summer with no drowning. So naturally, what they did to celebrate was they threw a pool party. As they threw a pool party, there's about 200 certified lifeguards and about 6 lifeguards on duty. They get to the party, y'all, they turn all the way up. They party like it's 1999. They partying at the pool party to celebrate the fact that they had no drowning, only to get to the end of the party to find Jerome Moody, age 31, dead in the deep end. How does one drown while being surrounded by over 200 certified lifeguards? I think they got so caught up in the celebration that they missed people around them dying. And y'all, right here at Meadow Ridge, there's people outside these doors that are dying and going to hell. That's the reality. And we have been certified by the blood of Jesus Christ, which makes you a certified lifeguard, to go and find others that don't know who Jesus is, to make sure that they're introduced to this God who's the creator of the cosmos, this God who created you and me, this God who created the sky and put birds in it and created the ocean and put fish in it, this God who knows the amount of hairs on your head even if you're bald, this God that loves you so much that if you were the only one on the planet, he would have still given his son for you. If we're certified, let's not have any Jerome Moody's on our watch. But let's finish and complete the assignment that God has given us. And that's to tell the world about Jesus. Father, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you that you've given us this great assignment to reach the lost. You've given us this assignment for us to work with you. You've given us your power, and you've given us your presence so we can carry out the assignment that you have called us to. Lord, our prayer today, it's real simple. Lord, help us to win souls in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes. Maybe there's someone that here today and they have some lost people in their home, under their own roof. Father, I pray that the opportunity would come that they would witness. And Father, I pray for those who have not been sharing the gospel. Lord, maybe the ones that they can't remember the last time that they've led someone to Christ and told somebody about. Father, I pray that you would convict hearts today. Lord, that there'd be an overflow from Meadow Ridge. Lord, that there would be a people group that would go out and get people no matter where they are or what they look like. But they wouldn't step over them, wouldn't pass by them. But Lord, they would share Christ. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for this great pastor and his family. Thank you for this body. Lord, we pray for an overflow, that we would hear testimony after testimony that people are coming to Jesus because of the saints at Meadow Ridge. Give them to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.